Rabbi Gabay invited me to briefly speak about Rabbi Rosenthal. Rabbi Daniel Rosenthal, Rav Daniel, as I am accustomed to call him, passed away this past Thursday morning in Yerushalayim. He founded Yeshivat Or HaTzafon in 1974, and it was later renamed to Northwest Yeshiva High School. In 1979, he persuaded Rabbi Moskowitz, Zichrono Levracha, to join him as Rosh HaYeshiva. And in 1980, I agreed to devote a year of teaching here as well. And well, it's been a rather long year. I worked closely with Rav Daniel for 5 years until he relocated to New York. You know, I can imagine Rav Daniel right now here with us. And in my imagination, he is sitting in the back row. He's sitting upright. He doesn't usually slouch. His arms are folded around his chest and he is smiling. And there is this distinctive gleam. Some people have called it a twinkle in his eyes. And he is waiting and expecting me to share a Torah thought. He wants me to focus on teaching you something and not on honoring him. And this image is so vivid to me that I feel I had better come through. Let me begin by describing a special midah, character strength, of Rav Daniel. This past Shabbat, we read about Bnei Yisrael crossing the Reed Sea, the Yam Suf. I would like you to join me in imagining that moment. So let's all close our eyes. I'm not going to close mine. I need to look at my notes. But let's, the rest of you, close your eyes. It's okay. Nobody's going to pull any trick on you. And imagine that we are standing at the shore of the sea. Before us, to our right and left, are two immense walls of water. And we must walk on the seabed between these two towering walls. It's going to take a lot of courage to take our next step. The step from the shore and pass between those threatening towers of water. Are you able to take that step? Can you walk away from the familiar firm ground of the shore and enter into that bizarre, frightening landscape in front of you? Well, did you have the courage? Okay, you can open your eyes now. But let me give you another example of courage. Remember the story of Avraham and the fiery furnace? Nimrod told Avraham that if he persisted in denying idol worship and insisted on Hashem being the one and only true God, he would be thrown into a fiery furnace. But Avraham was undeterred, and he chose the furnace rather than deny the true God. These two accounts describe very different types of courage. Let me explain. Some people think I took some remarkable risks during my 3 decades as head of school. They think I have the courage to jump into the unknown in pursuit of an ideal. Well, they're wrong. I am risk-averse. What looked to others like risk-taking was actually very calculated. After carefully assessing the dangers, determining the likelihood of success, and concluding that my project or initiative was reasonably safe, I undertook it. I was like someone who takes their first skydive. It's scary to jump out of a plane, no question, but the odds are decidedly in favor of a safe landing. It takes courage to overcome the natural fear. But the actual danger is limited. When Bnei Israel stepped off the shore and onto the seabed, they needed that type of courage. Courage to overcome their natural fear. But were they really in danger? Well, no, not really. The plagues demonstrated Hashem's power and control over nature. His commitment to the Jewish people was proven, was established, and they were not really in danger. Rav Daniel, he had a different type of courage. It was not the courage to overcome one's fear. He had Avraham's courage, true gvura. Avraham was thrown into a fire, not knowing he would emerge unscathed. Rav Daniel, like Avraham, was willing to risk his welfare for an idea. He threw himself into the fiery furnace. And like Avraham, he could not know how his adventure would end. That's gvura. Let me explain to you the risk he took. Rav Daniel served as Seattle Hebrew Academy head of school for 5 years. He had a secure position and a dependable income. He gave that up because he knew that the young people of our community needed to have a Torah high school. Without it, most of our young people would be lost to Judaism, and eventually our community would wither. Well, who would raise the money for this dream? Who would recruit the students? Who would recruit the educators? Rav Daniel accepted all this as his responsibility. And let me explain that raising the money and recruiting the students were uniquely challenging tasks. He was not raising money or recruiting for an established institution. Anyone could do that. He asked donors and parents to invest in an untried and unproven dream. As I told you earlier, I am very calculated. I assess and avoid danger. What Rav Daniel did, I would not, and I have not done, because the odds were against his succeeding. So how did he do it? How did he succeed in creating a Torah high school that you attend? There were a few factors. I'll share one: his mesiras nefesh, his capacity for self-sacrifice. Avraham was thrown into the fire and he emerged. Rav Daniel subjected himself to 11 years of living in the fire. For 11 years, from 1974 until he relocated, he spent his afternoons raising money. He went from office to office, from one potential donor to another, and he raised it, mostly in drips and drabs, small, scattered amounts. I'll tell you a story. One afternoon, I met Rav Daniel downtown. Maybe we had a meeting in Federation. Perhaps I just ran into him. I don't remember. He asked if I would give him a ride to his car. Now, I parked at a nearby lot, but to save the yeshiva money, Rav Daniel's practice was to park at a cheap spot under I-5, somewhere around Madison, and to walk from there to his various solicitations. I guess he must have walked the length and breadth of downtown Seattle daily, just to avoid parking expenses for the yeshiva. I guess that also explains the frequent holes in the soles of his shoes. But this is one of the elements of his success. He was moser nefesh, willing to subject himself to hardship, disappointments, rejections, unyielding pressure, and relentless work to create this Torah high school. Well, what sustained him over those years in the fire? Was he a religious fanatic? Or did he have some uncommonly high pain threshold? Well, I mentioned earlier that if Rav Daniel were here, he would expect me to share a Torah thought. That's because he loved Torah, and that was his inspiration. He constantly asked Rabbi Moskowitz, Rabbi Zucker, and me to share something with him, to tell him what we were teaching. And when he sat in the class, supposedly to observe, he could not be an observer. Inevitably, after a few minutes, he was participating and mostly asking questions, demanding clarity. So what sustained him? It was that love and joy in Torah. His dream was for others to have the opportunity to experience that love and joy. So what should you take away from this? I hope you will achieve his gevurah and his mesiras nefesh, but I cannot really expect that. Very few of us achieve those midos to his extent. However, there is a very important message for us to take from this. I remember that in the early 1980s, Rav Chaim Ben Eliel visited us, and he spoke to my junior and senior boys. His objective was to convince them to consider a gap year in yeshiva. And at that time, this was not a common practice in Seattle. Here's what he said. Imagine you are in a restaurant and you look over the menu and cannot decide what to order. But you see a nearby table and note that the patron is eating his menu selection with enormous relish. You are so impressed by this person's effusive joy that you say to the waiter, "I'll take whatever they're having." Rav Ben Eliel went on to explain to the boys, "You may not have yet experienced the joy of Torah study, but I hope you have witnessed it. If you want to have the joy that you have seen in others, you need to spend your post-high school year in yeshiva." Developing the love of learning that inspired Rav Daniel, it takes time and effort, but I've given you a glimpse through him of the power and majesty of that love and joy. Through Rav Daniel's example, I've tried to show you how great must be the power of that love and the intensity of that joy, because they inspired his absolute dedication with providing you and hundreds of others with Torah education. I am blessed to have known, studied with, and under, and worked with remarkable people. I know I'm not them, I don't come close, but I know what greatness is because I've seen it. So I have something to strive for. And I hope that by sharing these few thoughts about Rav Daniel Rosenthal, I gave you a glimpse of greatness that you will be inspired to emulate. Thank you.